Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive. Carrington Harrison here. Dusty Likens here. To my right, it is the sports machine, Sean Levine, talking about the top stories of the day in Kansas City. BK will be back tomorrow. Jury duty. He just sent us a text.
I was going to hit the breaking news sounder.
He just sent us a text and said that his trial ended in a mistrial. So BK will be back tomorrow. I am off at the end of the week. So tomorrow is our only day with all of us here.
Oh, good. You're off at the end of the week. We can finally do a good show.
And you can chew all the ice you want because you'll probably be in the studio by yourself.
You definitely can chew all the ice that you want. I mean, I'll even get you some ice. You can have some ice to hold you through.
That's what I do. I chew ice. I don't chomp ice. I chew ice.
They're kind of the same.
To each their own.
Coming up in about 45 minutes or so, we will get into the mind of the machine. But first, let's get into the top story of the day in Kansas City. Get it, Dusty.
Okay, now, from the beginning.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Check it out.
The top stories of the day, every day at 5 o'clock. The hits.
Cue it up.
One.
Let's go!
So the hits, obviously, they are brought to you by the Broadway Deli. Mostly Jewish deli for a mostly not Jewish city is now up in the crossroads and is the official deli of 610 Sports Radio. I suggest you get the Joel Goldberg. It is fantastic. But today, mandatory minicamp started for the Kansas City Chiefs. Pretty popular player wasn't there, and Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network had this to say.
He has stayed away for OTAs. That's voluntary. No fines associated with that. But not present, I'm told, for mandatory minicamp. So Chris Jones, one of the best players on a Chiefs defense that they would really like to improve this year, he is not at mandatory minicamp. So he is going to get fined. Now, he would like a new deal, looking for something in the $20 million per year range. But my understanding is the Chiefs are not going to negotiate with him until he's present, and he is not present right now.
So a giant catch-22 for Chris Jones and the Chiefs. He wants a new contract. They want him there. They won't talk to him until he gets one. He won't show up until he gets one. You two earlier talked about it, and you don't seem to be that concerned.
Yeah, I don't think there's any reason to be that concerned about it. We'll certainly talk more about it after the hits, but I don't understand the value of a holdout if you're only going to miss the optional stuff and then show up for the mandatory part. But you didn't hold out. That's not a holdout then if that's the case. I mean, in order to stay stead firm in what you're trying to accomplish, you got to be willing to miss something. You got to be willing to sacrifice a little bit. That's the purpose of the holdout. I do think the deadlines make deals. And as we get closer to St. Joe, I do expect the Chiefs and Chris Jones to agree to a contract.
That's exactly what Chris Jones is doing. He's sacrificing a little bit to get a lot more. It's one thing to get fined every day that he misses for the next week or so. It's another thing to end up getting the $20 million a year that he so wants. So in the long run, it's going to end up working out well for Chris Jones because, quite frankly, the Chiefs have to start paying their own guys. They paid Clark this offseason. They paid Matthew. They paid Sammy Watkins. At some point, Dusty, they got to pay their own guys, and I think that's going to start the second that they pay Chris Jones.
Two.
Hit number two brought to you by the Broadway Deli, mostly Jewish deli for a non-mostly Jewish city, is the official deli of 610 Sports Radio. Last night, Game 5, NBA Finals. A lot of storylines going into it, basically two going out of it. One was the crowd's response to KD getting injury, but the most important one was Kevin Durant getting injured. Carrington Harrison, you said earlier today, he may never be the same.
Yeah, I don't think that Kevin Durant, I don't think it's a given that he's going to be the same. Think about his injury with an Achilles injury being out an entire season and his age. Be a different conversation if Kevin Durant was 23 years old. He's 30 years old. He's going to be 31, 32 before he gets back on the basketball court. I don't think that Kevin Durant plays at all next season. I think he's going to sit out the entire year. I don't know if we ever get to see potentially top 15, top 20 player of all time Kevin Durant. Maybe he's still a really good player in the NBA. Obviously can't see into the future, but there are not many examples of a player having the kind of injury that Kevin Durant has that instantly goes back to being that the player that he was prior to the injury.
That's what was so sad about it, that we're talking about a guy that might be the best basketball player on planet Earth get injured, and going forward, he might not be the same. So if last night Kevin Durant would have been the one who's crying because it looks like he blew his Achilles and it looks like he blew an opportunity to be the guy that rides in on the white horse to save Golden State, I wouldn't have minded him crying. But Bob Myers, the president of the team, crying, the reason that he was upset was because of the money that Kevin Durant is going to earn next year, probably from Golden State at this point. It seems like it was a foregone conclusion, no matter what happened, especially if they did win a championship, that Kevin Durant was going to end up with the Knicks, with the Clippers, with the Lakers, with the Nets, with somebody other than Golden State. But don't look now, he has a $31.5 million player option. He's only got one good Achilles, so what that tells me is in all likelihood, he's going to be on Golden State next year.
I just don't know if you're having that thought in the immediacy of finding out the information while you're at game five of the NBA finals and your team's back up against the wall. That seems like something we media people think about as you're not removed from it. You're telling me the general manager of the team that's in the middle of game five is already thinking about what Kevin Durant's going to do this offseason right after learning that he just popped his Achilles, especially knowing the entire backstory. I just find that very hard to believe.
You heard him. He sounded like T.O. That's my teammate. That's my quarterback. He was talking about Kevin Durant, who's a great basketball player, but again, he's doing fine financially. It is sad that Kevin Durant might never be the same guy, but trust me, the president of the Warriors, at some point, the thought crossed his mind, oh, crap, we're going to pay this guy $31.5 million next year to sit on our bench.
Three. Last and final hit of the day. The Chiefs had mandatory mini camp, like we mentioned earlier, and a couple players spoke, some of them being LDT, Anthony Hitchens, Kendall Fuller. I thought Kendall Fuller said something very entertaining and very noteworthy today about their new defensive coordinator.
I don't think so. He told me a story about he met with my brother, but I didn't. I love him, man. Just that fire, you know, he wants to compete. He wants to see everybody get better, see everybody do well. You know, just as on the field, of course, but also off the field. You know, he wants to see guys mature, see them, you know, do good off the field. And, you know, for sure, he asks a lot of us on the field and, you know, pushes us and motivates us every single day. Good energy.
So the reason I bring that up, guys, is because last year, the biggest problem that we had at the end of the season was the fact that they lost to the Patriots in the AFC Championship game because they couldn't get the offense off the field on 3rd and 10 three separate times. It came out later that Bob Sutton was a guy that didn't really have a lot of passion, didn't change things mid-game. We're already in June, and Chiefs players are already telling us that Spagnuolo, whatever you want to call him, is pulling guys out of videotape, getting individuals one-on-one, and has a fiery mentality. This has to be the best-case scenario going forward for this defense already as mandatory minicamp has just started.
I think that the Chiefs made a pretty clear move that they wanted to get more fiery and have a lot more energy and be a more aggressive kind of defense. Think about the personalities of their three biggest moves. Think about the personality of Tyrann Mathieu, the personality of Frank Clark, and the personality of Steve Spagnuolo. I mean, they continue to highlight the fact that he's fiery, energetic, and hands-on. You'd never heard that kind of talk around Bob Sutton, that if you want to change the culture, you got to change the personalities, and that's certainly what the Chiefs have done over the last 3 months or so.
Yeah, they had to change the culture on the defensive side of the ball. Offensively, it's pretty much the same faces in the same places, which is good because they became the third offense in the history of the league to score 35 points a game last year. They didn't need to change much on that side. As far as defense goes, they changed everything up to and including the defensive coordinator. But more than changing the culture, they just changed the players, man, and they replaced players with better guys. I think that Dee Ford was good. I think Frank Clark's going to be better. Eric Berry was good when he was on the field, which he wasn't. Obviously, Tyrann Mathieu's going to be better. So as much as it was important to change the culture, it was more important just to change the players on that side of the ball.
And that concludes the hits for today. Coming up in about 20 minutes or so, we'll get more into the audio from Chiefs OTAs. So to give you guys a rundown kind of what happens, this is the last week of practice for the Chiefs until they head to St. Joe. They've already gone through all the voluntary, all the optional stuff. This is mandatory. So today, tomorrow, and Thursday, the Chiefs have mandatory practice, and then they will break camp. And then basically, to kind of let you know how it goes in the NFL, any news from Friday up until they head to St. Joe that's not related to Chris Jones' contract is negative. That's how the NFL works. It is just you hope that none of your players get in trouble. You hope that none of your players end up on TMZ. You hope that none of your players end up on Deadspin or on Pro Football Talk for the wrong thing. Someone's team is going to be affected by the summer and guys just having a lot of money and a lot of free time. You just always hope that team is not yours. I wanted to ask you guys this question. It popped in my head a little bit ago, but I kind of wanted to wait until the 5 o'clock hour. I want to play it one more time because you have been really hard on the general manager of the Golden State Warriors. Now, I don't think that it's very fair for someone who has a relationship with Kevin Durant, who I assume wants the best for Kevin Durant, who was part of the process of bringing him here, knows about all the stuff that he's had to deal with on the court and off the court and the criticism around him, and was probably part of the decision for Kevin Durant to play in yesterday's Game 5. And Durant cost himself a lot of money. Like, we can talk about the injury and all that kind of stuff. Forget the one-year $30 million. He could have got a five-year $200 million. I don't know if a team is going to give him that based off the injury and the uncertainty of when KD is going to go back. I'll play it one more time if you missed it. Here's Bob Myers. He is the general manager of the Golden State Warriors.
I don't believe there's anybody to blame, but I understand this world. And if you have to, you can blame me. I run our basketball operations department, and let me tell you something about Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant loves to play basketball, and the people that questioned whether he wanted to get back to this team were wrong. And I'm not here to. He's one of the most misunderstood people. He's a good teammate. He's a good person. It's not fair.
I think there's a much bigger conversation to have in sports than just Kevin Durant.
Dude sounds like he just watched the movie Marley and Me. He's crying so much. That was a tearjerker of a movie.
And I think that there is a much bigger conversation to have, and I think there's one that Kansas City especially can have. I wonder if seeing what happened to Kevin Durant makes you feel any differently about Eric Berry. Because if you think about it, and I understand that athletes get compensated heavily for what we ask of them, and it's part of the culture and part of what you sign up for. Like, I signed up for this job. Sometimes people are going to call me an idiot. I get that. I give my opinion all the time. So you're allowed to give your opinion. That's the deal that we've made as a radio host listener. That's the deal that we made. Part of what you sign up for, if you're an athlete of, you know sometimes you are going to get heckled and you know you are going to have to do things with your body that are maybe unnatural and unhealthy, but you have to do it for the betterment of team, personal gain, all that kind of stuff. I remember during the offseason whenever Eric Berry said, I could have came back, but my spirit didn't feel right, and him getting absolutely crushed for it. And part of it was, man, you make X amount of money, you better get your spirit in order. Kevin Durant makes a lot of money to go play basketball, and the games that he is being asked to miss are certainly as important as the games that Eric Berry was missing. I saw a player go out there and play at 70, 75% and be obvious that he shouldn't have been out there. Clearly wasn't the Kevin Durant that, in my opinion, could be the best basketball player in the world, could not physically do a lot of those things. It wasn't like he played a full game. He didn't even play a full half. He went out there, he made one move that we've seen Kevin Durant make for the last 10 years of his life, and his Achilles 100% blew on national TV. He's sitting there on the ground, and he has cost himself a lot of money. Again, we ask and demand a lot of athletes. I wonder if seeing Durant, because if Durant had taken the care that Eric Berry took with his body, I think Kevin Durant is fully healthy today.
We don't really know.
Or fully healthy is strong. He does not have a torn Achilles, I think, if he handled it with as much care as I think Eric Berry took.
I'm still not exactly sure why Eric Berry was sitting out games last year. And if it was because of his spirit, then as a fan of this football team, for a football team that's on the cusp of winning a Super Bowl, they should be pissed off. It's one thing to talk about your spirit in the case of Eric Berry not being right and not playing games. It's another thing if your Achilles or your quad is injured like Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant thought that he could be the guy to come riding in on the white horse and to save the Golden State Warriors. Trust me, if Golden State was
we don't
up,
think the I'm saying is we don't think Eric Berry thought
hell
the
no.
exact same thing.
No, if Eric Berry was going to be that guy to ride in on the white horse, he would have came in week 6 or in week 9 or in week 12. He wouldn't have waited and kept his team at ransom pretty much the entire season. I understand your comparison because both guys got injured, but one guy had an injured quote-unquote spirit. The other guy was physically injured. So I think
we don't think
that
Eric Berry's physically injured?
Not to the extent that he sat out last year. No, I think that's why the city was so pissed off, because Eric Berry might have been hurt, but how injured was he? I think that Eric Berry decided to not play a lot of football games last year because Eric Berry didn't want to risk what Kevin Durant did last night.
Yeah, I don't know what reason we have to think that. And this is kind of
On the field. That's the reason why. I think that there were many, and I'm no doctor. I don't play one on the radio.
I think it's obvious that he shouldn't have been on the field, and I think it's obvious that Kevin Durant shouldn't have been on the field. And this kind of goes to my bigger point. I think a lot of times we ask athletes to make decisions that are not in their personal well-being and can financially screw them over for the sake of doing it for the team. It's essentially what we asked Kevin Durant to do yesterday. Man, your team is down 3-1. Look what's happening with so-and-so. Look what's happening with so-and-so. Go on the field. And I think because they make so much money, we don't look at them as people. Like, Kevin Durant yesterday cost himself a lot of money. He didn't cost me any money. He didn't cost you any money. Kevin Durant could potentially cost himself $70 million. And I think we can agree with this. This is the first time in this entire ordeal that people finally look at Kevin Durant as human. He has not been human for the last couple of years. He has been mostly a villain for making a personal decision. That's not what's happening right now. Now it's like, oh, man, it sucks. Yeah, it sucks. You should have never been out there.
Kevin Durant played for Kevin Durant last night, bro. Kevin Durant played for the legacy of Kevin Durant.
He didn't play for the team yesterday?
No, he played because Golden State was down 3-1.
That's not for the team?
No, well, okay. It ends up being for the team, but it's because he was individually selfish and wanted to be the guy that was the reason why the team.
What is that based on, though? I don't understand. They're down 3-1. It's loser-go-home scenario. KD goes out there at 70% to try to help him win. Now his rationale for being out there is selfish?
He played to be the hero, man. Kevin Durant was out there to be the hero. It didn't work out for him. I feel terrible about it. But the reason that Kevin Durant – he wouldn't have been out there if they were up 3-1. He's out there because they were down 3-1, and he thought that they needed him. And it turns out that they maybe do need him. But that's why Kevin Durant was out there yesterday, not because he's this great teammate or anything like that. It's because he wanted to prove to all of us that – because right now Kevin Durant is thought of as a guy that, yes, he has 2 championships, but he kind of bought those championships. He went to a team that was already championship caliber. If he could be the guy that down 3-1 comes in on the white horse and they end up winning this in 7, then people will go, Kevin Durant is the reason why Golden State won this championship. Don't get it twisted. That's why Kevin Durant gave it a shot yesterday.
I just feel like it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation.
It is.
I'm just saying, Kevin Durant comes back and clearly is at 70-75%. And I am no doctor, but I think it seems fairly obvious that his injury is attributed to coming back too early.
Absolutely.
That Kevin Durant should not have been playing basketball last season and shouldn't have been playing basketball for a very long period of time. He should have shut it down for the rest of the season and come back next year, which in the NBA is like in 3 weeks. So you know how the NBA season works. That's just how it works. Then he risked all of that. And I do think it's fair to point out that Kevin Durant is a free agent. A free agent at the end
that's,
of this.
That's exactly why you need to have advice from somebody so, that really, cares about you, really to say, quickly, dude, you can make $200 million so, going forward. It's not worth it.
So that's why I'm saying is I don't know how you can then play both sides of the coin. He could have been entirely selfish and said, I'm a free agent at the end of this. I've already won my 2 rings. I'm not at 100%. I'm going to shut it down so I can prepare to be a free agent next season and maximize my earning potential. He then goes out there and clearly plays not at 100% and can hurt himself. He then hurts himself. And now the rationale why he came back was selfish in the beginning. Like, I feel bad for Kevin Durant in that standpoint, that I think the point that Jalen Rose made is very fair. Man, we don't really love some people until they give you a pound of flesh. Think about all the things that Eric Berry, kind of bring it back to my main point, that Eric Berry had endured. Man, there were people literally calling this radio station, calling Eric Berry soft. We're talking about the guy who, through his physical ability, pushed himself to be an NFL player, through his physical ability, pushed himself through cancer. Now, all of a sudden, that guy's too soft to play in the NFL and now doesn't know how to push through pain. That, man, you have to endure a serious injury, I think, for some people to view your humanity. And that's what I think happened to KD last night.
I just think what happened to Kevin Durant was absolute worst case scenario. And I feel bad for him. And I think that he was trying to do both things. He was trying to help his team. He was trying to help his own legacy. And he was trying to get all the media and all those people off of his back by him being the reason why Golden State won a championship. He was trying to pull through an injury. He was trying to be the good teammate, trying to be the good guy. But unfortunately, literally, worst case scenario happened. He could have imagined he was going to tear his Achilles. I mean, if he would have even known, he could have gotten injured. Tearing your Achilles means that you're out for an entire year in your free agency season. He could have cost himself upwards of $100 million by the injury last
night.
Yeah,
more than $100 million.
Well, he's still going to get paid. Yeah, I mean, he's still going to get paid. The question is he ever going to be 100% of – is he ever going to be Kevin Durant before the Achilles injury? Maybe not.
And the answer is probably no.
That's a scary.
Honestly,
thought.
The answer probably
that
isn't.
That sucks.
I want to play for you guys what Jalen Rose had to say yesterday regarding the Kevin Durant's injury.
there's a herd mentality that takes place when you're a professional athlete. And all of a sudden, when you start to make a lot of money, people think that you're immune to everything that comes with being a human being. And so if the Golden State Warriors were up 3-1, KD would not have returned. But since they were down 3-1, he was forced to return based on all of the chatter that we knew was going to take place. He's soft. He really didn't want it. He wasn't committed to the team. Oh, and he was leaving anyway. And he knows that. That's why he decided he wanted to come back. People will bring flowers to your funeral, but don't bring you soup when you sick. That's what I'm seeing for KD right now. Everybody fake acting like they caring about KD's best interest when they don't. It's phony to me. I just said Friday night on NBA Countdown that KD's workout did not go well for nobody involved. And then when KD got cleared to play, people felt like they wanted to assassinate my character. Oh, you didn't know what you was talking about. KD's cleared to play. Just because he's out there warming up and doing dunks, that's adrenaline. It's a rush. He's a professional athlete. That's just like people having coffee in the morning or espresso or sugar. It's going to be a rush. And then there's a crash. And so now all of a sudden, KD has to deal with an Achilles injury. We wanted to see KD give himself to us. We thought it was weak that he wouldn't join the Golden State Warriors. I didn't like that he joined the Golden State Warriors. We created that narrative. He would never be the dude in Golden State. That's always going to be Steph Curry's team. So therefore, he goes there, wins championships, but he got to leave to still validate himself. So now, congratulations, world. You got your pound of flesh.
So that was Jalen Rose yesterday talking about Kevin Durant. I understand that not all of you are NBA fans, but I mean, it was the biggest story yesterday. I mean, I firmly believe that Kevin Durant, by the time he's done playing basketball, will have an argument of being one of the 15 best basketball players in the world. And Kansas City is in a unique perspective of seeing him in Kansas. You could probably say that was his best game as a collegiate player going up against KU. I don't know if we're ever going to see Kevin Durant clearly or ever at the level in which he played at. Over 30, Achilles injury, out for a year. I think yesterday was the beginning of the end for Kevin Durant. Let's switch gears and talk a little bit of Chiefs and Chris Jones. That's probably the biggest story right now happening with the Chiefs, not related to Tyreek Hill, but ain't nothing really happening with Tyreek Hill right now. Here's what Ian Rappaport had to say about Chris Jones, who is not at camp.
He has stayed away for OTAs. That's voluntary. No fines associated with that. But not present, I'm told, for mandatory minicamp. So Chris Jones, one of the best players on a Chiefs defense that they would really like to improve this year. He is not at mandatory minicamp, so he is going to get fined. Now, he would like a new deal, looking for something in the $20 million per year range, but my understanding is the Chiefs are not going to negotiate with him until he's present, and he is not present right now.
This is the first time that Brett Veach has been faced with having to pay a John Dorsey player. All the other players who have gotten contracts of recently, I looked this up because I was like very curious to know when it happened. The last player to get an extension was Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, a big one. Now, Damian Williams got one last year. They gave him 2 years, $8 million, but he also was a guy that Brett Veach brought in. I mean, the big-time contracts over the last two offseasons have all gone to Veach players. Tyrann Mathieu just got his new contract. Alex Okafor just got a nice contract. Not like Tyrann Mathieu, not like Frank Clark, but Alex Okafor got a decent amount of NFL change. Anthony Hitchens just signed a new deal, and Sammy Watkins just signed a contract last year. All the big-time money so far has been allocated towards, quote-unquote, Brett Veach guys. This is the first time that Brett Veach has to make a decision on a player in which he did not draft. I said this whenever we first started hearing about Frank Clark and whenever the Chiefs finally signed him to that deal and traded for him. I think it almost means that you have to sign Chris Jones to a deal. I don't think that this organization can go with, well, we only pay Brett Veach's players and then we treat the Dorsey players a little bit differently. I don't know how you can look at a guy like Chris Jones, who has done everything he's supposed to do in the community, everything on the field, everything off the field, played at an elite level last year and was the second best defensive lineman in the NFL behind Aaron Donald, and then turn around and say to him, you got to wait. You didn't tell Tyrann Mathieu to wait. You didn't tell Frank Clark to wait. You didn't tell Sammy Watkins or Anthony Hitchens to wait. Why does Chris Jones have to be the one to wait in this scenario?
Yeah, the Chiefs have to start paying their own. As you mentioned, they've paid all those other guys. They paid Mathieu. They paid Clark. They paid Watkins. All those guys came from other teams. Now it's time to pay a guy that's had success in your uniform. And to your point about the offense and the defense, it's still John Dorsey's offense. You've still got Tyreek Hill. You've still got essentially Patrick Mahomes. I get it, but he was the guy who was in the general manager seat when he got drafted. Most of the offensive line, Travis Kelce, most of that offense, or at least the skill position players, are John Dorsey's. On the defensive side, it's mostly Brett Veach. The only guy that kind of is a crossover is Chris Jones, but I don't think you're going to have to worry about it. I mean, I think it's just a matter of when, not if. Chris Jones is going to get his contract. It's just how soon are the Chiefs going to decide to pay him.
Yeah, we say that, though, but I mean, I do think you have to take a little bit of what Ian Rapoport is saying. If they're not willing to pay Chris Jones until he shows up, how long is Chris Jones willing to hold this thing out?
They're playing that game right now, but as soon as they recognize that they need Chris Jones, and that's going to happen before St. Joe, then he's going to get his money. The money's available. The player had 15 and a half sacks last year. On defense, they basically need him. The only reason that you wouldn't pay Chris Jones, I suppose, is if you were convinced that last year was a career year, and that's not how good Chris Jones actually is.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Again, I'm trying to have the exercise of it. I agree with you. I think they're going to pay him. What if they think differently about Chris Jones? I mean, we just heard from Ian Rapoport, contract is stalled. They're not going to pay you until you show up. What if Chris Jones just decides I'm not going to be there for the first week of camp, or I'm not going to show up until preseason game number 3 this year? That's a completely different scenario. Now, I'm a firm believer that deadlines make deals, and I'm a firm believer of once it's time to go to St. Joe, I think the Chiefs will then have some urgency in trying to get the deal done. But maybe the Chiefs do feel that way. I mean, I could see how you could think that way. Like, I mean, we got to think. Sometimes these organizations are looking for reasons not to pay you. The only person I think they're looking to pay is Patrick Mahomes. I would say everyone else on the team, they're looking for reasons not to lock themselves into giving you $65 and $70 million guaranteed. You can very easily talk yourself into, well, Chris Jones only had one elite season. We want to see him be a little bit more consistent and play at that level for another season. You can talk yourself into it. I mean, if you look at his career, last year kind of sticks out like a sore thumb. He had two really good years. He had an elite season last year, and I would say, again, I think the urgency in which you need to pay Chris Jones was only accelerated by how good Frank Clark was last year, the signing of Frank Clark. That if they didn't have Frank Clark, I don't know if the Chiefs would feel an urgency to go out and pay Chris Jones.
Couldn't you also take the other side of the argument, though, that he's maybe the best defensive tackle in football, not named Aaron Donald, so you have to pay him the money? I understand what you're saying, but based on the season that he had last year, and again, we're, 98 days away from training camp, this is a question that will be answered, I am sure, before training camp gets here. I think that when training camp rolls around, the only major question mark that will be left, and hopefully this is taken care of also, is Tyreek Hill. I think when it comes to contracts, they'll have all that figured out by the time camp comes rolling.
But to again then play devil's advocate, the Rams didn't pay Aaron Donald the first time he asked for money. They didn't pay him until the second time that he asked for money. The first time Aaron Donald was unhappy, and then they just said, so, we're not paying you. Go back out there.
And the Chiefs can do that.
I agree with you. But so when is he showing up? That's what I'm asking you. When is he showing up then?
I understand what you're saying. I don't believe what the Chiefs are saying, that they're going to play this game of kind of cat and mouse where you got to give before we give. I think that that's what they're saying right now, because we're talking about, 2 days into practice, or the first day of real practice. I think if this goes any longer, the Chiefs are going to go, okay, man, here's your money.
I also think it's more of an urgency to have to pay Chris Jones because you have $28 million in cap space. You can't claim we don't got it.
No, the money's available for sure.
Like, you can't claim we don't have it. If they could claim that, it would be a completely different argument, and I think more people would be on their side. But the fact that they have $28 million and you only have one contract to take care of, there's seemingly, other than you don't want to pay him, there's no reason not to pay him.
That's just it. You just hit the nail on the head. They've only got this one contract to deal with. The money's available, and they're lucky. They should be counting their lucky stars, if that's a real phrase, that they're not to be at the negotiation table right now with Tyreek Hill. With all the crap going on in a weird way, they avoided having to negotiate with both Tyreek Hill and Chris Jones this offseason.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll get into all what happened today out at Chiefs OTAs. We'll do that next. Coming up, it's The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
Back in on The Drive, coming up in a little bit, we'll go inside the mind of the machine. I want to read this text really quickly before we play for you guys what they were saying today out at Chiefs OTAs. OTAs are today, tomorrow, and Thursday, and that is the final offseason workout for your Kansas City Chiefs until they head to St. Joe. Text line 69306. It is easy to say that the Chiefs should pay Chris Jones, but you'll also be screaming loud that Veach made a bad deal if Jones doesn't live up to his new deal. That's not true.
I don't know. That's how it was with Eric Berry. That's how it was with Justin Houston. We love it at the time.
I don't think they signed, though. I mean, I can't speak for anyone else. I don't think that those contracts were bad contracts. Now, I think they waited too long to sign the deal.
Yeah.
But if you leave for work an hour early and you're still late because there is a traffic accident outside, you did everything that you were supposed to do and things outside of your control happened that caused you to be late. We agree if the Chiefs are going to make a decision on paying Chris Jones, now is the time
to
do it.
Absolutely.
There is no benefit for the Chiefs to let him play this season and then pay him next year. No extra benefit. If anything, it can be more expensive next season if you're going to do it. Now, if you've already made the choice internally that he's not a player that you want to keep long-term and that you'll ride out this rookie deal and you can live with him being unhappy because at the end you're going to franchise tag him and trade him anyway, that's a different conversation, one that I'm not privy to. But I will not at all fault the Chiefs for paying Chris Jones this offseason because that's what you're supposed to do. His rookie contract is about to expire. He's a player that you want on your team, so you pay him before his contract gets even more expensive. I will not fault the Chiefs at all for paying Chris Jones, and it doesn't end up working out.
I don't think that's what they're doing. I think that they're going to end up paying him, and they're just sitting on their hands right now because when it comes to next year's franchise tag, there's a guy that could use that. His name is Tyreek Hill, and your choices next year with Tyreek Hill, assuming that he plays this year, are either say bye-bye or franchise tag him.
They're definitely not letting Tyreek Hill walk in free agency without getting any compensation.
So they're going to franchise tag him, which means you sign Chris Jones to a long-term contract.
I don't know why you would do all this for Tyreek Hill to then just let him walk at the end of free agency, and then all you're going to take is a third-round compensatory pick.
Essentially, it happened for 2 years is why you would do it.
Yeah, I agree.
So he's a pain in the ass for your organization for the next 2 years, and then he can be somebody else's problem.
I agree, but I'm saying is I don't know why you would put up with all of this for Tyreek Hill at the end to say, all right, well, go. Like, no, you're franchise tagging Tyreek Hill and you're getting a first-round draft pick for him at the end. That's your compensation. You're not taking the third-round pick. But again, if the Chiefs pay Chris Jones and the contract doesn't end up working out because Jones can't stay healthy, then we have no crystal ball. You can't look into the future. All you can do is make smart investments. And I think at this point, this is the right time to invest in Chris Jones if you are planning on signing him long term. So today, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, Kendall Fuller, and Anthony Hitchens all spoke today. Let's start with the offense. Let's play for you what Laurent Duvernay-Tardif had to say.
Wiley is a tremendous athlete. He's bringing good energy and good chemistry to the group, and it's been really nice to see him grow as a player. And of course, I think what we want as a unit is the best guys out there and create that competition so we can all get better. And I think that's what's happening right now. And it's just, it's been fun so far. We all know what's at stake, but at the same time, we're all having fun together, which is great.
I got distracted on the text line, my bad. Can I read this text really quick?
Yeah, please do it.
It's about Chris Jones.
All right.
Text line 69306. The Chiefs don't have to pay him. He's still under contract. But they should, though, because it's the right thing to do. But we can all thank Antonio Brown for this. Do you guys watch the NFL? Sometimes I really wonder if people that text the show watch the NFL.
I watch the league sometimes, yeah.
Like, you can't say because it's the right thing to do, but we can thank Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown was not the first player to get a contract before his contract had expired.
Plus, it's not his rookie contract.
And I think it's rewarding players who perform well. Like, at the end of next season, the Chiefs technically don't have to pay Patrick Mahomes. Technically. The same exact conversation we're having about Chris Jones will apply to Patrick Mahomes. The same conversation that just happened with Carson Wentz will apply to Carson Wentz. To me, it's more of a value in which you can get him, because if you follow the NFL and business in general, these contracts these players are signing are getting bigger, not smaller. So signing Chris Jones to top dollar in 2019 is going to be a smaller amount of money than if you sign him to top dollar whenever his contract's up, based on how contracts continue to increase. And it is the right thing to do. A good message to send to your organization is, if you outperform your current contract, we are willing to renegotiate that and operate in good faith. That's what they're doing to Mahomes. This is not a charity. They're looking at it of, hey, Chris Jones, we want you to be a happy employee here in Kansas City and come every day to work bringing your best and playing at an elite level. So you pay him the contract. Again, that's what good companies do. Jacksonville's a bad company. I'd be paying Jalen Ramsey if I was them. He's the best cornerback in the NFL. I wouldn't tell Jalen Ramsey we're not interested in paying you. That's bad business to me. That's why the Jacksonville Jaguars are the Jacksonville Jaguars, because they do bad business.
I don't expect the NFL or the Chiefs to always do what's right, do the right thing. It's the right thing to do. I don't necessarily buy into that. I do buy into what you're talking about, though, with the contract, that if you wait, if you sit on your hands for Chris Jones this year, he only becomes more expensive. If you wait for Patrick Mahomes next year, he only becomes more expensive. These days, you have to sign a guy. You have to be proactive opposed to reactive. If not, the guy walks.
And I agree. I'm sorry for getting distracted. I want to talk about Laurent Duvernay. I just like, as you sometimes say, Laurent Duvernay, Tardif. I practice it at home. I practice it at home. I practice saying his
in
name.
In the mirror.
When he says we all know what's at stake, yeah, you should. Like, everyone should be on the same page on what's going on with the Chiefs. Like, I understand that every team is in different categories. Like, if you're Cleveland, the goal should be trying to get back to the playoffs. The goal if you're Cleveland of, hey, let's try to win the AFC North this year. We haven't made the playoffs since Jimmy Carter was in office. We need to try to get back to the playoffs. That needs to be the goal for the Cleveland Browns. I understand they're talking Super Bowl, but the goal for Cleveland should be trying to get to the playoffs. The goal for the Kansas City Chiefs should be all we're talking about every day we're waking up, and our focus is Miami. If I was them, you know how they got the clock up there so you know what time it is?
Yeah.
All right, they need to have a countdown to kick off of the Super Bowl. I want every single day you walk in that locker room, you know what we're working towards. We're working towards trying to play in Miami every single day. I love hearing that the Chiefs are having that conversation. It hasn't been that long in Kansas City in which that's been a realistic conversation.
First time in my lifetime. First time in my lifetime we've ever had this type of conversation. I think there's only four teams, four cities right now that can be having this conversation of Super Bowl or bust in 2019. Kansas City, New England, and then the two teams that played in the NFC Championship game, New Orleans and the Rams. I think there's a bunch of teams that are good. I think there's a few teams that are great. I think those are the only four teams before the season starts that can say this season will be a bust if we don't win the championship.
I want to play this for you. This is Kendall Fuller. He spoke with the media today. Here's what he had to say about new defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo.
I don't think so. He told me a story about he met with my brother, but I didn't. I love him, man. Just that fire, you know, he wants to compete. He wants to see everybody get better, see everybody do well, you know, just as on the field, of course, but also off the field. You know, he wants to see guys mature, see them, you know, do good off the field. And, you know, for sure, he asks a lot of us on the field and, you know, pushes us and motivates us every single day. Good energy.
One thing I think the Chiefs have really highlighted over the last couple of weeks with Steve Spagnuolo is fiery and energy. They've talked about that a lot. They've talked about new energy, upbeat, high tempo, big energy. They've spoke on that a lot when it comes to Spagnuolo. It reminds me of, I can't remember who the defensive coordinator was. I like racked my brain thinking about it all day. Where I remember it was one off season. All they kept, I think it might have been Romeo got here, and they kept saying attack style defense. They love saying, hey, we're going to run a new aggressive attack style defense. They became clear that was a talking point for the Chiefs defense. It's clear what the talking point is. Man, fiery, new energy, new scheme. That's the kind of stuff they've been talking about all offseason.
More importantly, the new energy and new schemes and new culture, just new players. I think Frank Clark is a huge upgrade over Dee Ford. I think Tyrann Mathieu is a huge upgrade over Eric Berry. And then off the field, I think Steve Spagnuolo is obviously a huge upgrade over Bob Sutton. I think it's the new faces in the new places that are going to create that new culture automatically on that side of the ball.
I want to play one more. This is what Anthony Hitchens had to say earlier today at Chiefs OTAs.
Yeah, there come times where he pull guys out of meetings and just talk. Does he want to get to know his players and coaches? He do it with coaches too, and you know, just trying to learn each other. You got to learn how to coach the man, coach the player, and I think he's doing a great job with that. He came in from the first day and had his rules and the standards set, and he hasn't let off on them. So we only have, you know, we're only going to improve with the mentality of this defense.
It's kind of interesting, the players that the Chiefs chose to make available to the media today. I think you can make a really strong point that these are the two guys on the defense who have the most to prove going into this upcoming season. Anthony Hitchens got a big-time contract, has not lived up to it, in my opinion. Kendall Fuller got traded for in the Alex Smith trade. I'm sure you guys remember that. He was kind of touted as a top-flight corner. Could he make the transition to being the one Pro Football Focus had him rated as the top inside corner, nickel corner in the NFL. I don't think he lived up to that billing last season. I think these are two of the players who probably have the most to prove, especially on the defense heading into this upcoming year.
Yeah, I agree with you. On the offensive side, I think the answer to that, Sammy Watkins. There's a couple answers to that on the defensive side, though. I want to know what we get out of Juan Thornhill. Maybe that's not fair because he's just a rookie. Reggie Ragland's another guy, but I agree with you. Anthony Hitchens and Kendall Fuller are two guys that we know they can be really good. Unfortunately, they're yet to be really good in a Chiefs uniform.
Text line 69306. What does New England have that makes them to be the favorite this upcoming season?
Brady and Belichick, period.
I'm shocked you didn't send that. That's kind of what you've been saying all offseason.
That did come from me, by the way. I did send that.
I mean, why are you guys so high on the Patriots this year? Because they're the Patriots is the answer to that question. Coming up in a little bit, we'll go inside the mind of the machine. We'll do that next coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
Text line 69306. I hope you guys are giving the other side of the story on Chris Jones' contract. All I've heard you guys talk about is how the Chiefs have to pay him. Have you said anything about his agent, Drew Rosenhaus? Dime to a dollar, he is using Aaron Donald's deal as his starting point. Chris Jones is no Aaron Donald. You mean his agent is doing his job? Isn't that why you hire an agent? Like, don't you hire an agent to try to get you the most money?
That's the way I understand it, yeah.
I mean, that's what I understand. That's what I think, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I've never hired an agent before, but if I ever hired one, I would try to tell them, get me as much money as you can. That's why I pay you a commission. So he hired Drew Rosenhaus, who was maybe the best NFL agent out there, to try to get him the best defensive line contract that's out there, which is Aaron Donald.
It's a fair point, though, from the text line, that there will be comparisons directly to Aaron Donald's contract because they do share the same agent. That's a fair point.
And because Aaron Donald has the best contract.
Yes.
Like once we start talking about Mahomes' deal in a more serious matter, we're going to look at whoever makes the most money at quarterback as the guideline of what his contract needs to look like. If Tyreek Hill was due a contract this year, we would be looking at Odell Beckham's contract as a guy. That's just how this kind of works in this thing. So I don't really know if we had to tell you guys that, but I'm happy to tell you guys that anyway.
Now I know.
That's kind of the job. Let's go inside the mind of the machine.
The trailer is now out for Frozen 2. Which is the better Disney movie, Lion King or Aladdin?
I think Lion King is the best Disney movie of all time.
Lion King's got Rafiki, my favorite. Can I get a Rafiki, C-Dot?
Rafiki.
Rafiki. You can roll the R's a little bit more, but we'll take that. Better Disney character, Woody or Buzz Lightyear?
I like Woody more.
Okay. Michael Jordan's famous flu game was 22 years ago today. Does it feel like we can put the LeBron and Michael Jordan comparisons away for just a little while since LeBron didn't make the postseason this year?
Yeah, I think we can put them away in that context. I do think that LeBron is going to be able to reopen the argument if he wins a championship in Los Angeles. If he has a championship with every team that he's played for, he has 9 finals appearances, maybe ends with more points, rebounds, assists than Michael Jordan, he's going to have a strong argument, I think.
Yeah, what does your gut tell you, though, about his chances of ever winning a championship in L.A.?
I got to see who – I mean, ask me that after this free agency period.
Fair enough.
I mean, I think this is the free agency period. Who can he convince to come there? If he can't convince anybody to come there, then, yeah, I'm with you. I don't think he's ever winning a ring.
Speaking of basketball and free agency, it sounds like the Anthony Davis sweepstakes is coming down to the Lakers and the Knicks. Where does he end up?
I think the Knicks are going to trade the 3rd overall pick for Anthony Davis. It'll be the 3rd overall pick. Kevin Knox and Mitchell Robinson, I think, for Anthony Davis.
You think that gets you Anthony Davis?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, is the Lakers option that much better than theirs?
Not really. The Big 12 Commissioner Bob Smoke-a-Bowlesby, says all transfers.
Really quick, though, oddly enough, I guess back to the question.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the Celtics could be in it, but it doesn't really matter if you don't get Kyrie Irving. So, like, if Kyrie Irving isn't on board, you're not trading Tatum and Jaylen Brown to go get Anthony Davis if you don't have Kyrie Irving in the fold. So, like, there aren't many teams that really have the assets that help you go out and get Anthony Davis. It's probably 3. The Knicks, the Lakers, and the Sixers are probably the only ones that can realistically get him. I mean, unless Houston's trying to bag a package. But then you take away from your thing that there's not that many teams that can realistically make a deal.
You should talk more NBA, sir. You can really talk a little NBA.
Yeah, I mean, I try to follow it. I try to read about it. Someone says, if Tyreek Hill is innocent, would you guys apologize for all the craps you say about him? I think Tyreek Hill is an abusive person. No.
Well, I've heard him say, you should be terrified of me too, B. So I know he's not innocent of everything.
I think Tyreek Hill is an abusive person. So no thanks.
Big 12 Commissioner Bob Bowlesby says all transfers should sit out a year with no exceptions.
You good?
Do you agree? Yeah, barely.
That was a dusty phone.
Am I still on the radio?
Are you good? It was.
Can I try that again?
There was a lot of turbulence on that fight.
I don't want to. Bob Bowlesby
try it again.
Says the transfers should sit out a year with no exceptions. Do you agree, C-Dot?
Absolutely not. I am always on the side of players in this. They don't get paid. So I'm always on player freedom and player movement. And why shouldn't they be allowed to do the exact same things that the coaches are allowed to do? Bill Self did have to sit out a year when he transferred from Illinois to Kansas. Konzo Martin didn't have to sit out a year when he transferred from Cal to Missouri. Why should the players have to do it? You should be able to transfer one time out of conference without penalty. That should be the rule in college athletics. You should be able to transfer one time to a team. Like, I understand how you shouldn't be able to transfer from Kansas to Kansas State. I can't just go work at 103 tomorrow if I want to. It's in my contract. I can't go work for them without my employer, my current employer's permission. But if you transfer somewhere else, I mean, if I got a job offer somewhere else, I could accept the job in theory.
Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen turn 32 years old tomorrow. Besides, who's your biggest TV crush? You want to know about what's her name from Topanga. Boy Meets World, Topanga Lawrence. Who's your biggest crush from back in the day besides Topanga Lawrence? And do you find it weird that I have a crush on Lois from Family Guy?
Yes, that's incredible.
Why? Because she's animated? Animated chicks can be hot too.
Yeah, I mean, you're a very weird case because you always have like a lot of things in which men can't do, but then you do something that I think is worse.
As long as grown men don't carry umbrellas, they can do whatever they want.
Like, you literally have a stance where you don't think that grown men can have a group chat, but you
or
think,
have a group chat. Yeah.
You think an animated character is attractive. Like, that seems worse to me
than
having
a group chat. Have
you
seen Lois Griffin?
I've seen Family Guy before. Yeah, I've seen Family Guy. I'll go a different one, maybe a little bit off the board. I used to watch Degrassi when I was a teenager. Yeah. And Manny from Degrassi is an absolute baddie.
What about Ashley Banks?
Yeah, she was cute.
Kelly Kapowski's got to be the GOAT, though, or Winnie Cooper. Steve-O from Jackass turns 44 tomorrow. Were you a big fan of Jackass, and what reality TV show have you seen the most?
Yeah, Jackass wasn't really the show for me. I don't really get a lot of humor out of watching people hurt themselves. Like, I understand that there's some level of entertainment in it for people. That's just not really for me. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not really the, hey, you lit yourself on fire, ha ha ha, that's funny. Like, that's not really good humor to me. Reality show that I've watched the most?
Newlyweds with Jessica Simpson and Nicholas Shea, perhaps?
Nah, I wasn't really a huge, huge fan
of that
show.
That show was great.
I mean, I've probably seen like 5 or 6 seasons of Real World. I'm a big fan of Real World.
Seasons, not episodes?
Like
seasons?
Yeah, like seasons of them.
You were a Survivor guy?
Nah, I was never a Survivor guy.
I can't believe Survivor's still on TV.
People really watch those
Survivor,
shows.
Big Brother, and The Simpsons have
My
just been on
don't
forever.
Miss Survivor or Big Brother.
Still?
They don't miss it.
I actually watched two episodes last year of Big Brother. It actually wasn't that bad.
There's a reason why it's been on TV for 40 years, since the Nixon administration.
I just watched a show on MTV. It was called X on the Beach, where they have all these like reality TV stars, and then they bring their exes to live in the house.
Was Pauly Shore on the show?
No, Pauly Shore is not on there. They have like younger. I mean,
Flava Flav?
Pauly Shore, I mean, they have people under 30 on the show, you know? I'm not really trying to watch 50-year-old people on a reality TV show. No shame against them. That's just not the kind
of watch Flavor of Love?
Programming that I want.
Flavor of Love was good.
Yeah, that show also came out 15 years ago.
Reality show, right?
It is a reality show. Before you get out of the mind of the machine,
that's right.
Who should be favored to win the finals now, the Raptors or the Warriors?
I mean, the Raptors should still be the favorite because they technically have the advantage. I mean, you got 2 chances to win 1 game, so they should be the favorites in this one, but there certainly is the pressure on them. But, man, I think at some point you just got to look at Golden State like you're just beat up. I don't know if you got the bodies to win this thing. You're kind of limping to the finish a little bit. Someone on the text line says, Sean is right. Animated characters can be attractive.
Jessica
Have you
Rabbit?
Seen Jessica Rabbit?
Yes, Jessica Rabbit. Please,
That's
Jessica.
That's friend texted in. You know it is.
I don't know that person.
You're grown
You're gonna
men.
Be like, I also like Corey Dillon on Penicillin.
That's a good one, too.
Just grown men. I can't imagine that.
Have you seen Jessica Rabbit?
No, I've seen Jessica
Smoke
Rabbit.
Show.
I've seen Jessica Rabbit. That part
She's
of my brain just doesn't really activate.
Fire.
Thanks so much for listening. BK back tomorrow. Check out the podcast page. Also available on iTunes. Drive home safely.
So Monday, you may kick off the week. Wednesday, you may have a cool nickname. Thursday, you might be the almost week.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.